opportunity to meet with you, and it's really bad to be late. So I apologize for that. So I had kind of committed 30 minutes, and I'm going to honor that 30 minutes. And the next person I'm going to be late to, I'll make up that time with them. I think it's the governor's office. We'll see how that goes. It's really nice to be with you. I received an invitation from Tammy Clementi Watson, which is a good friend of mine. And she just essentially said to me that I work with this really good group around technology, and they're looking at technology issues across the state, and they'd really like to just have a conversation with me. And I said, that would be great. I would be more than happy to come out and have a conversation. And so that is the reason I'm here, is to have a conversation and make sure that I hear you. I've made a commitment to a lot of your superintendents across the state to say that I would do a lot more listening than talking, and I plan to honor that even this morning. I know that you have submitted a few questions to me. Just in full disclosure, some of the questions that you asked me, I certainly have staff that would have that kind of specificity, but I don't. And to be honest, I did not have time to actually get that kind of specificity, and that is not to be respectful that those aren't valued questions. Those are just to say that I have that level of expertise that can respond to that, and so I don't have all that information. Now, I have some staff here with me, and so if those are pressing questions that you would like us to respond to, then we'll respond to those, and I want to make sure we kind of do what you would like to have happen. What I would like to do, if you wouldn't object, if you do object, show of hands or stomp your feet or send me a message on the screen up here. I know this is technology. If what I would like to do is just to give you kind of an overview of which is one of your questions, how I view technology and how I would kind of like to see us move forward as a state. And then second, to take at least 15 minutes for me to hear you. I don't know a lot even about this group or this organization, so I do know that at some point I've got to get an advisory group that advises me, and it may be this group. And so I would like to hear a little bit about who you are and kind of who's represented in the room, and I know we don't want to take a lot of time with that, but certainly at some point I can just get a roster list and make that assumption as well. But I also want to hear from you what some of your issues are or concerns are, and they may, again, just go back directly to the questions that you've already submitted. And then at the end, we just had an infrastructure review from North Highland, and I'm going to ask Deputy Commissioner Stroop to just quickly walk us through that review. I brought 20 copies of it, of just kind of a summary, not the full review that has just been submitted, and I'm not sure that all of that has been communicated with the governor's office and folks across the street, so I'm not sure that's for public access right now. But the summary, some of the recommendations actually align closely with some of the things that I would like to see us move forward with in the state and some of the feedback that I have gotten from folks across the state. So is that acceptable?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, then good. Kent, we'll just have you speak for the group.
That's me.
And I have a really bad sore throat, so if my voice kind of gives out, I apologize for that. One of the things that you asked me about was the focus and the vision. Now, I can tell you, and some of you that have worked with me, you know that I am not the most technical person to stand before you and be leading the state. But I have a pretty good vision of what I think ought to happen, and we tried to implement that vision in Fountain Fort Carson. And those of you that are familiar, you'll know that we moved technology forward in a real kind of way, whether that was in our IT systems, whether that was in direct communication that we wanted parents to be able to have with every individual teacher as we progress monitored across the board. So what did that look like? Whether that was what teachers needed to have or even knowing to be able to do in relationship to technology. You know, it's one thing to put smart boards in rooms. It's another thing to have a clear expectation of how they benefit instruction and how we move that forward. So technology, for just the sake of technology, we know that in education that's kind of been a piece. Folks haven't figured out what to do with it. So I still visit districts right now, and I see two or three stations in a classroom. And doesn't matter how long I'm there, there's really no interaction with those stations. So I still think we have a lot of classroom where folks haven't really decided how to engage technology. When I work for Edison Schools is a private manager of public schools. And one of the things that Edison kind of hung their hat on is we will be the most technology-rich schools in the country. And you know, they would give a computer to every family for them to take home. And then they would have full computer labs and so many distributed computers in the classroom. And you know what Edison finally decided? After millions of dollars of investment, they really had no practical use of exactly how that technology was going to inform and be used in relationship to instruction, and ultimately on how we're going to move student achievement forward. So they no longer do that. It was catchy. It got parents motivated. You know, we're going to get a computer, how great that is. And then over time, outside of some communication and some email and some blogs, it just didn't really serve a real purpose. Well, in this state, I think we've got to make a decision as to what really makes sense as we try to integrate technology throughout the system, and how does it actually benefit our most important work. Now, I continue to say to folks, our most important work in schools is around teaching and learning. So at some point, if we're going to infuse technology, how does it really benefit teaching and learning? And that's how I think we have to approach it. In Fountain Fort Carson, we just implemented giving every student, it's not a laptop, what's it called, Dave? A tablet. And we gave them a tablet because, you know, you can write on it and you can do so much more. We felt like that would be more beneficial to our students. About 1,400 students at our high school, all of them got a tablet. Now, one of the first things the Board of Education said, well, how is that tablet going to improve achievement? We said we believe that through student engagement over time, that certainly it has the potential to have an impact, but there was no replacing the teacher. Ultimately, the teacher's going to be the most important person to improve achievement. The tablet really was a tool that students were going to use and access. We believed as we grew up using paper and pencil and notebooks that students today, for the 21st century, probably need some form of a laptop or a tablet for the same purposes that we use paper and pencil, except we know it expands their world in a real kind of way, different than what we could do. And so we train the teachers on how to infuse the laptop, not in place of the teacher or not to substitute for good, solid instruction, but to be a tool that students would access, and that's how it was implemented, and that's how the board ultimately approved it. We're certainly doing an evaluation of that, and I'm sure Dr. Rodebush or Dr. Clemente Watson, either one of them, would be glad to share results. This is the first full year of that implementation. So if you had asked me as commissioner, what do I think all of our students need for the 21st century? First, I think they need the tool. And I think they need to have consistent access to it. And so how we make that happen, I don't know how we make that happen. Maybe it's through technology grants and districts can sign on to say dollar for dollar or match. This is how we start to get technology in the hands of our students. Now, we also felt like in our community, there was a great digital divide. There was a divide between the haves and the have-nots. So we had homes. We created all these avenues for parents to get improved communication with their schools and with their districts, and some parents didn't have access to it. So we also said that laptop's checked out to a student. They can take it home, and it can also be their family computer. And so we were also trying to say, how do we engage parents that may not have the means to even have that access at home? So what's the other piece I believe? I believe that if we're going to have parent portals and all these kind of pieces, we also have to work with our communities to say everybody then needs to have access. I don't think it's fair for what I always call sometimes the rich kids to get an improved service and the other kids then to still be left out in the dark, even though we do that with the best intentions. So I believe the state has some obligation to say, how do we help you create that access across the system? And I'm not sure I have all the answers. You might help me with the answers. You know, one of the things that I'm pretty clear about is standing in front of folks and saying, I don't have all the answers. Just because my title says commissioner doesn't mean that, and I elevate to a level that I have all the solutions for how we move some of our tough educational problems in this state. So philosophically, I think it's important. I think we've got to improve our data management systems in the department. seems like when we ask you for information that we already house, that is just crazy to me, for lack of a better word. If we already house it, we ought to be able to pre-populate it and not have to ask you to return information that we already house. Right now, we don't have the systems that are capable of doing that in a very consistent kind of way, because a lot of our systems don't even talk to each other. You're going to see in this infrastructure review that one of the biggest suggestions they have for us is around, get your systems aligned so that you have one system where you house the data. Stop asking the district for it. You already have the data. So part of the recommendation is that we improve that system. Number two is that we create a department that engages the state in real technology questions and issues and solutions rather than we just being reactionary. At some point, let's get out ahead of the curve and say, what do we want to have happen in the state of Colorado and what makes sense for the 21st century? And so again, I believe you may have some of the solutions to some of the problems that we know exist, but more importantly, you know exist. And so we've got to try to fix some of those things. So I'm very, very supportive of us moving our systems forward. In our school district, we move that forward in a real way with tremendous support from the Board of Education and certainly staff folks that really understood it. So I didn't have to understand the specificity for us to move forward. And I'll tell you as commissioner, you know, I'm working on it. But I may not understand the level that you do. That doesn't mean we can't move forward as a state on what makes sense for this state. And at some point, we better move forward. We're already behind in my mind as I talk to other chiefs across the country. And we got a lot of work to do and probably a short amount of time to do it. But folks that know me, that doesn't stop us from moving forward. So we'll get some of that work done. So that would be an opening. If you don't mind, Kent, let me shift and just take some questions or some concerns. I know you've given me some. And if you really want a response to these, then it doesn't mean, Kent, that I will not put together a written response and get that sent that can be sent out to all of your members.
And if I might help you just a little bit, probably should have done this before addressing the group, introduce you to the group, because you wanted to know that, who's in the audience. We have school districts represented. We have BOCES represented. Okay? We have technology directors and geeks like myself. We have teacher librarians. We have people who are a blend of those. We've got folks from a group called the Technology Leadership Forum, TLF. We have a number from COSL, which is the Colorado School Library Leaders. We also have members of the CASE Department for Technology, which is CALA. And we have a number of unattached folks, if that's the right term. Folks who are interested in technology, education technology, information literacy. I know many of the districts are very interested in the plans, the TIL plans that have been developed and submitted over the years, and how that fits with not only the tools that are in place for technology, but how those tools are utilized for teaching and learning, as you mentioned, critical thinking, information literacy types of skills. And so you've got an eclectic group here. And probably also some of the topics that were submitted to you, you kind of brushed upon as you were speaking. One was the structure. Another one was on really the vision, where does technology fit? I know you put together a forward-thinking document that is very extensive and shows a nice roadmap for CDE, and so interested in how technology and fits into that ETIL thinking, as well as, I believe, one of the topics we talked about, and you mentioned it too, was some sort of an advisory capacity. What can we do to help you and CDE move forward? Because we want to be a resource for you. And so with that, that's kind of the introduction to the group, which, again, I was remiss in not giving that to you at the beginning. If you'd like to take the mic back, I'd like to give it away. And then additionally, just so you know, that we are recording your address and your conversation with us so that we can podcast that out to other folks across the state.
You tell me that now.
So thank you for all those.
Yeah, let's redo that address. The only other question that I'd really like to respond to that I think certainly is on your mind, and that has to do with the technology standards. And, you know, we've said across the state that we're going to do a complete standards review, and probably some of you in the room say a complete standards review, but there's no mention of the technology standards and how they are actually, thank you very much, how they are incorporated in that review. And just for those listening out there, the thank you very much was for some water. So what we've kind of shared, and I'd like your input, is that we believe, again, that the student's use of technology is around that it is a tool, and it's a resource tool. And it doesn't matter what standard or what content area that we're addressing, we believe, how does that tool then get infused into science, social studies, math, those kind of pieces, and that it potentially should not be treated as something separate or out here. I actually believe it is a part of all of the content standards, and if we really look at that as a tool, I think that's the best way to infuse it. So it isn't that it's being ignored. I believe if we, as we have those conversations across the state about the different content areas, one of the questions ought to be, how do we infuse technology, or how do we see these tools fitting or being a benefit within each of those content areas? So I don't know if your impressions are different than that or if you disagree with that approach, but that's kind of the approach that we've taken. So it isn't that it's just ignored. It's believed that it's a part of each of those things, and that's how that review ought to take place in my mind. Now, the difficult part, you know, we have a fairly ambitious timeline. Now, some folks would say a year review is not that ambitious, but if you look at all the content areas, especially the NCLB, but we've included all of the content areas in that review, and with the timeline to try to take a recommendation back to the State Board of Education by November, that's going to be a difficult task. We are hoping to use WestEd to help facilitate that task, because we got to get a lot of feedback in the field. This cannot be just the review that the department's been accused of to say you already have the end in mind before you ever do the review. This really has to be a complete analysis, looking at how do 21st century skills really fit into the standards of what we want students in Colorado to know and be able to do. Workforce skills, is there a place, where does that fit? And then even the college readiness skills. When we initially put some of the standards in place 13 years ago, the conversations were much different than today. So we always say in the department, please give us an opportunity to be smarter tomorrow than we are today. And so that's what we're trying to put together now. How can we be smarter based on what our young people have to know and be able to do to be competitive in a very, very global economy? So that's kind of where we're at on that piece. Hopefully that answers your questions. I'd be interested in if there are differences of opinion or things you'd like me to hear. I'd sure be glad to hear that right now. Great. Okay. I used to be a teacher. I know appropriate wait time. The other piece then, yes, Dr. Clemente wants
to. I was just going to say, Dwight, Commissioner Jones.
Sorry. You can call me Dwight.
One of the things, if we could, just sitting on the Pikes Peak Student Achievement Consortium in the district and how we always have Jackie Webb represent CDE, that whole, if that's something that we could get solidified, maybe get a key, one of your key advisory people with technology that attends each one of the TLF meetings, that's going to keep you guys at the state level posted. I think that would be really critical as far as this group goes. So I know you had spoken to that in terms of this advisory committee, but it just works out so well, that constant communication and open door with CDE. When somebody represents those meetings in Colorado Springs, like Jackie does, can come back to you with a synthesis of here's where the group's going. And I think that's just something good to have. We can get those dates out to you, to whoever that person might be or people might be within your department that could attend our technology leadership forum meetings. So it'll really be that good connection piece for both groups.
I know that Tammy likes to talk. I wasn't sure I'd get the microphone back, so I'm back here and get it. Actually, I know that we have a staff person that right now attends those meetings, or you're saying someone either at a higher level in the department, or what are you asking for? Yes, Ken?
I think what Tammy's saying, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, that
as an example, the Pikes Peak Achievement Group that meets, there's normally seating representation and discussion going on there. We've had in the past with our TLF groups, the CalA group, the COSO groups, and so forth, and then when we come together, we've had conversations with CDE, and we'd like to, one, continue that, but second, we also maybe formalize that a little bit more with some dates.
Okay. I would certainly say, especially because of the importance of this group and the fact that we need your assistance to move forward, and it's, I think, in a much better, I think we're in a much better state that if we work together, even though we know we've got probably some difficult issues to solve and we know that resources always come into play, seems like we can make that commitment. It's really important for me to know what you think, and what you recommend, and as we start to put things out, to get direct feedback on how you think that's going to affect the field. I've tried to say I promise we will do that, no matter what the issue was or what the program is. So I would be open to doing that. I don't know how we've staffed that right now, so I'm not sure I know exactly how we do that. I'd just make a commitment, Kent, to say we could figure out how we would do that. Because at some point, I know that one of the recommendations of the infrastructure review is that I have an advisory group that advises directly to me and to the Department of Education. And again, this group together, you know, like you are today, that may be the exact group, or maybe it's one of the subgroups, I don't know, but we would even like to propose back to you what might be a recommendation and what might be the best way for me to have that kind of an advisory group. The fact that this group today is pretty inclusive, that it includes media specialists, that's very important that we have that voice at the table, because there may be issues that we've got to make sure relates to that capacity. And then the fact that we have school district folks and BOCE folks also represented, then that gives pretty good representation. And then what was the other group, Kent, that you said was here?
We have the Department of Case.
Okay. Okay.
As well as the Coastal.
Okay, so some of the other technology organizations out there. So seems to me, Kent, we might work with you on saying what would an advisory group look like, and we, you know, that recommendation doesn't cost us any money unless we have to support, you know, travel and those kind of things. And in some of the groups we do and some of them we don't. Sometimes it depends on what kind of fiscal. If we ask across the street, we usually put in some of the fiscal note that helps to support that group. When we create it just based on these recommendations, that may not be there. It doesn't mean we can't ask it in the next budgeting cycle. So again, we would be glad to work with you on that. Okay. Other things that may be pressing or that you think is really important for me to hear? Yes?
Yes, Dick, thank you so much for coming and meeting with all of us. I'm with the Coastal Group. My name is Shelley Walchak. I'm with the Colorado Library Consortium. We are the replacement organization for the regional systems that were taken away after 9/11. And we travel throughout the state visiting libraries. And one of the biggest issues that we hear, and in fact I was talking with Joanne Patterson down at Douglas County about this issue, is the communication between the administration, the libraries, and the IT departments. And we can have our tools there, but we have our hardware, but we also have so much software that's so necessary for our students to be using at this point in time. And in many of the districts, we run into barriers with being able to use these kind of tools because those people are not communicating with each other. I think it's a really big piece in moving forward schools and helping students achieve what they need in this area.
Thank you. That is one of the key recommendations that actually came out in the report is this whole data program management office that they think ought to be created and be part of the department. And it's to implement a program management office to oversee the entire data collection process, but also it's about that communication and collaboration. that has got to exist within the department on how we communicate either things we're working on or things that are coming in from the field that we ought to be working on. And certainly the library media system, as that falls within the umbrella of the Department of Education for even the media centers that are county or city-based, not just the ones that are school-based. And so we know that we've got to do a better job. I think Gene and his staff do the best job they can on that staff being cut by about 60% to 70%, you know, over time. So they're doing the best they can to try to maintain a level of service that is being maintained without the actual providers that can do that. So I do think this data program management office, and we are looking for a probably management officer at some point that's going to oversee the whole IT department within the department, even before this recommendation came out. Don't really have the finances to support that, but we think that's a necessary service. So I've got a complete financial review going on within the department because I think we've got to prioritize what are the most important things that we do within the department, which means we may stop doing some things and reallocate resources in areas that I think are really at the top of the food chain. And certainly this is one area. I get that, I understand that. It's going to take a little time for us to get ourselves in position to be able to effectively roll that out, but it doesn't mean that those actions and the work we're undertaking right now, that isn't happening. It's happening as we speak. We have this group coming in from Sacramento that's going to do an unbelievable detailed analysis of how we're spending the resources. And we're going to, before I feel like I can ask for additional resources across the street, I better get grips on how I'm currently spending my resources and what kind of bang for the buck are we getting, so to speak, for every dollar that we spend. And you need to know that that's going to be very transparent. We're going to put that on our website, and you're going to be able to track by department what resources are there and how we spend those resources, as well as with outcomes. What outcome are we getting for the expenditures of those dollars? And again, I think that's going to be the first time in the Department of Education where you're going to know our budget as well as we know our budget, because we believe that budget belongs to you. And how we're spending it, we ought to continue to get feedback on how we're using those resources. So that's going to be a very user-friendly site that you're going to be able to manage and see exactly how resources are spent. Personally, I think we're grossly underfunded, I'll be honest. But before I take that argument across the street, I'm going to account for every dollar in health spent and whether it aligns with our mission. And our mission's around support and service. So if we're doing things that don't really align with that mission, don't be surprised that there may be changes within the department as to whether we continue to do that, because we cannot be all things to all people based on how we're funded right now. We're 75% federal, 25% state. If the state expects a lot more out of us, then they're going to have to come to the table with some additional resources and staffing. And you know this. I know that you know that. And that's some of the same issues you probably deal with in your organization as well, but we're going to try to get that right as a state organization. And I think you probably expect us to do that. If you don't mind, I'm going to shift to Deputy Commissioner Stroop, and just quickly, I know I'm probably about out of time, about 5 minutes, so we're going to see her fastest song and dance ever. I've seen her across the street. She's pretty good. So we're going to ask her just to quickly walk through. Tanya Price here, our Chief of Staff, has about 20 copies, so we'll try to do two or three at each table, and then she'll quickly walk through that. And is that... At some point, that will probably be posted on the web that you can download that. I'm just not sure it's publicly released right now.
So, good morning.
Good morning.
I think I know some of you, anyway, and I apologize for these reading glasses, but whether I like them or not, I need them. So, I try to lose them when I don't want to. Let me tell you a little bit about the report, and you probably all know that last legislative session, the fact that it was a bill started by some of our state board that talked about, we had heard that there is you hear it in different ways, a technology problem, a data problem, depending on who you talk to, you kind of hear a different answer as to what the issue is. I think some of you have been involved in some of the discussions that I've been in, and what I know is it's a big problem, and I think to acknowledge some of what I'm hearing back from you is, in fact, what we have is an information problem. How do we deal with the information that's being created, and is it then a systems problem? Can we not get our arms around all of this information and utilize it. You're all creating it, we're creating it, you're sending it to us, you send it to us, it's in a black hole, you can't get it back. And so how do we deal with the information problem? There's so much information. We're information rich. We have been gathering and testing, and we have tons of information is in the analysis being done. How are we utilizing it, and how are we better providing it back to you so that you can use it? Some of that discussion is what started not only this legislative discussion. There were two bills. The first bill started out just as a study. The second bill, which was a case bill, which you're probably more familiar with, had a whole lot more detail in it, and it got moved to the first bill, and the first one dropped dramatically. So what we ended up with was a study that was done by OIT by a third party. I think that was really helpful, because what that did was give us an arm's length away from, you know, it's hard for anybody to hear criticism. And so it was very difficult for it when you all came to the department and said, you know, what are you doing and what's going on? People at the department were saying, you know, we're doing it just fine, thank you very much. And same thing, you know, coming the other way, it's very difficult for people to hear that. So now we have a third party, a North Highland group, who was contracted to do this study. I think a lot of you, I hope a lot of you were involved in terms of them coming out and hearing what the issues were. So that's good. The report, and I'm not sure if it's actually public yet, it was delivered to OIT. It will be reported out to the joint education committees. But what the report really talked about was three phases. They did a really nice job. I was pleased with the contractor. They did a really nice job of talking about what the issues were without really laying blame anyplace. They did a good job of saying, you know, the system at the state level was created when there was resources back in 1998. And in fact, it is exactly where you would expect it to be, given when it was created, given the amount of resources that were given to do that. Since that time, the needs were expanded a great deal. There was a whole lot of legislative changes, no additional resources, and in fact, technology has really improved. So you have a system that was created that was good back then. There hasn't been any change. The thing that has changed all the requirements to you and all the requirements to us and, in fact, the technology itself. It lays out three, I should go through these, but I'll tell you, I read the initial report, and what it did was lay out three phases of improvements. The first one, they said, could be done in short term and probably within existing resources. And those issues dealt mainly with what can you do right now to improve things. Communication was one. They acknowledged the silos within the Department of Education and the silos, same silos that probably exist in your school districts and in your BOCES. And in fact, you still have special education units and all of the libraries and all of those people that work pretty separately with our separate people. So they say, you know, there needs to be this team of people that communicate at a higher level. Communications is one you could do in the short term. You could probably do this reorganization of having somebody that took the responsibility of the overall management of the information and the data. Second, you know, the longer term was the creation of this position and funding of this group. And they liken it to the FPP. Some of you are familiar with our finance policy group, which Rody runs. It is in statute. It's been running for years. It is school district business officials that recommend directly to the department, and nothing happens in school finance without this group looking at it, approving it, giving us recommendations. And so they say it should be set up like that. We should have a team of people from school districts that are utilized in that way. But that may cost a little money. What this does, though, is gives the ammunition to go to across the street and say, this isn't the department that says we need more people. This is somebody that's coming up with problems and coming up with some solutions. It also recommends in that second tier some things that we could do in terms of technology that might be paid for with the technology grant, the longitudinal grant. The state was awarded about $4.2 million to do a few, to create some things. And saying you could do, I wish I was as probably knowledgeable as the people in this room to describe how we might better. I mean, there was an acknowledgement of pushing data, you all trying to push data at the same time, a point in time. We can't receive it all at the same time. There were a lot of issues around that. They're saying some of that could probably be solved, and they actually described the technology that would do that, some kind of someplace out, something else that will receive it and send it to us. So it talks about that, and they say, you know, you may be able to do that in the next couple of years, even within some existing resources and maybe with a little bit of a match. Long term, 3 to 5 years, they're suggesting a much different solution in terms of technology. And I think that it's in the report in terms of what they're suggesting we do. And it's not the whole replace all the system, but it does say that there are some system changes that would really support. And you know, the language they use I wasn't familiar with, but it's not, because I've been talking with some of you about push versus pull and a statewide system, which some people are for and some people are, you know, against. This really talks about something, I think, in between there. And we'll have to have this conversation about exactly what they're talking about and what you all think the solution might be. What I think this report does is gives us a great starting place. It gives us a place where we can all come together and have discussion about what can we do right away. I think it sets up this idea, which the department was already thinking about, because Dwight came knowing that there was this huge concern out there, and that was one of the first things he started talking to me about, is that we have to create some change. We have to stop expecting so much of districts. We have to start sharing information. So we've already started working on some of this, but I think the suggestion was we need to formalize those relationships. I think this report supports that. Again, I could go down each of these, but I just wanted to give you a brief report out on what this report says. I think it's a good report. I think they did a good job. I thank you all for participating in it. It's very clear that we heard from a lot of people, and I think that it'll give us a place to really now move ahead in a way that makes sense. We have, and they're suggesting, so if it had said something like, you know, the only way you're going to move ahead is having a $50 million budget to create a statewide system, that would, I don't think that would have been, it might be true, but it wouldn't have been helpful. So I think it gives us a place to start where we can start making advances in it, and it's a helpful report. So as soon as we can get that up on our website or out to you so that you can read it, we'll do that. I just shared some of the information with you, and certainly I'm available to at the department, or there's a variety of staff sitting in the room that it looks like you have communication with, so we can help. I can promise that we will, as soon as I understand who this group is and what the dates are, that somebody will be there at the meeting so we can work on that as well.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to close because I know I have to go. Some of you have a copy of just a very brief summary of kind of what's in the report. Again, the full report will be posted on our web just as soon as we get an opportunity to do that. And then hopefully we'll continue to have a dialogue. You know, just a couple, I always say, bullets at the top. Under recommendations for organization, in general, CDE should implement a standard system development lifecycle model. Seems simplistic enough, but you might be surprised the department really hasn't been doing that. So we've got to get in the business of that. CDE is disjointed. There is not system or organizational wide view of collections. Again, you'll see that the report really doesn't say it's people, it's a system, and so we're certainly taking a systems approach to how we want to fix the problem as well. Recommendations on the technical side, in general, the system is not optimized, causing submission problems. And then second, the system is collection focused, not reporting or data sharing focused. And essentially that's one of the things that when Karen says that I came into the department, that was one of the key components that I said, that's got to be a reversal that we start working on immediately. So thank you for allowing me to come visit with you. I appreciate that opportunity. I'm sorry that our time was short. That certainly is not to be disrespectful of the issue we're talking about or of the expertise that you have in the room. If it would make sense, maybe you would invite some of my staff back that certainly can give you a lot more specificity than I can. I will certainly be willing to come back, but I think the best use of your time is to have the technical folks that can actually respond to direct questions and give you feedback on where the department is and where we hope to go. So we would be very open to an invitation to come back and actually spend more time and be part of the agenda. Ken, thank you very much.
I want to thank you for your time and your comments.
We gave you an impossible task. We gave you many topics and questions that obviously are burning agenda items for us. We appreciate the conversation, and we hope that this is the start of those conversations. So thank you. And with this, I'd like to say that let's take a short break till about 10:15, and then kind of reconvene, share some of the comments. We do have some other CDE staff members here. And again, I'd like you to give another round of applause for